Hello, and welcome to Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew, a show where two friends crawl through a river of bad movies and hope to come out clean on the other side.
Welcome to the new and improved Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew.
No, I interrupted you.
Okay, let's take that again. Welcome to... All right, take three. Welcome to the new and improved Cheese Flicks with Logan and Andrew. Guaranteed to be twice as cheesy. All the same cheese crammed into a tighter package? That sounds weird. All right.
Who wants some tight cheese package? It's concentrated.
All right. So, yeah, this we're going to be trying something a little different this time. We're kind of going to give a real brief plot summary of the movie and then kind of go through different kind of aspects of it. So, the acting, the plot, the effects and whatnot. And then kind of give some final thoughts. So, instead of going through it really step by step, we're going to try to make things a little bit more streamlined, a little more, I don't know.
It's extreme cheese.
Yeah, Cheese Flicks 2.0, whatever you want to call it.
Nacho cheese Doritos. We're going to get sued for that one.
No, they got to send us money now.
Oh, yeah, actually just send me Doritos.
That's how that works, right? You just name the product and then they write you a check. God, why haven't we been doing that all along?
We got to find some big companies. Walmart.
See, this might be the problem. We say we're going to be faster, but we're just going to end up dicking around more.
Yeah. And getting, we tried. Well, first off, this is like a beta test of the new format, yeah, to be honest.
So please let us know what you think. You know, if you like the old format, if you like the old cheese, or if you like the new cheese, whichever one you prefer. And, or if you got a third idea, we'll do an episode like that. I don't care.
Oh, we should call this New Cheese on the Block. Hey, jokes are nonstop.
All right.
This movie.
Without further ado, this was my pick from...
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, this... So this was Death Race 2050. It was available on Netflix. It is a Roger Corman movie. Roger Corman being a pretty famous individual, I guess, kind of in the realm of B movies. I'll pull him up here real quick. So I guess he was involved
in the original too.
Yeah, he did the original Death Race. More recently, let me see. He's a producer on a bunch of stuff. I don't think he hasn't been like a director in quite a while. He's pretty old. I think he's about 90, but just going to run through some of his more recent ones. So he's responsible for titles such as Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf, Sharktopus versus Terracuda, the other Death Race movies, Piranaconda, Camel Spiders, Dino Croc versus Super Gator, Dino Shark, and the titles pretty much go on and on like that. So definitely a guy who kind of... I mean, he makes cheap movies, and it seems like he's made a pretty good living doing so. I'm not going to say he's made any good movies, because I haven't seen any movies of his that you would say were good, but somehow he keeps getting money to make them, so...
Yeah.
Good for him, I guess.
He was... I don't know. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's got some pull, though, apparently. I don't know. He got some decent actors in this film.
Yeah. So we'll go through. I'm gonna run through the plot real quick, and then we'll get into the rest of it. So, Death Race 2050, set in a sort of another one of these dystopian futuristic settings, and the whole movie takes place revolving around a death race. So there's kind of five racers. that we'll talk about more in detail later. And their goal was basically to get from the East Coast to the West Coast, New York to L.A. The race is kind of broken up into 3 days. And they get points for both how quickly they complete it and then also how many people they murder between the two places. There doesn't really seem to be like a set track or like route, so that they're kind of left to their own of like which direction, how they want to go about getting from point A to point B. And then you know, they've got like drones that are watching them. The drivers have passengers with them who have cameras on their head the whole time. Our main cast is the main guy is Frankenstein. He's kind of like the fan favorite. And he's played by the same guy who played Slade Wilson in the Arrow TV series. There is this one woman who's like a pop star. So like she's like a music performer, and she's decided to make the switch into death racing. what was the blonde girl's name? Sally, right?
Tammy.
Tammy.
Are you talking about Tammy the terrorist?
Yeah, Tammy, which is funny because there's a lot of awful Tammys in TV shows and whatnot, and this is no exception. So she's kind of got like a cult following, like people have almost converted to like the religion of Tammy. So let's see, that's those three. You have Perfectus, who's this genetically like engineered guy who loves to take all his clothes off and wears like a gold Speedo. And then there's a fifth car, which is just like an artificial intelligence car. So as I said, basically the whole movie revolves pretty quickly, gets into the race. You move through the race, all the different things. These kind of drivers develop some rivalries between each other. And there's some other stuff going along the way, going on behind the scenes in terms of like what the government's doing. So the government in this world's kind of been replaced with the United Corporations of America, and they have a leader. It wasn't called president, they called him not chancellor, I can't remember what his title was off the top of my head, but something like that. And he's the guy who plays like the head government guys. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in like Yes Man, and just really look up names before I do this, but he's got a You know what I'm talking about, right?
Bert. Who? Bert?
Bert?
Bert. Which one are you talking about?
The Chancellor guy. Not Chancellor.
Oh, Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah, sure. That guy.
Yeah, so the guy that, yeah. Oh, my goodness. What's he doing in this film? Everything.
Yeah, so, and he's probably the most recognizable one out of the whole thing. So he kind of has like a little bit of a side thing going on where he sort of decided that Frankenstein should be taken out because he's getting a little too popular, and it just is kind of time for a change, and it seems like he kind of is setting up Perfectus to take his place since he's kind of got more control over it. And then there's another side story of this sort of resistance or like rebel force that's trying to kind of take down all the drivers and kind of destroy the whole racing thing, because it's you know, I mean, these drivers are just killing people, and it's kind of led, or it's kind of feeding into the overall downside of society. So that is, I mean, that's pretty much the basic plot. Is there anything you want to add to that before we kind of start getting into the specifics of it?
No, I mean, it's obvious that this, you know, this movie was intentionally, I read a couple articles, I mean nothing too deep, but I mean this movie was apparently intentionally supposed to be sort of a satire on American society. There's so much you know, different political religious overtones that they're picking fun at things, but it's like cheap shots and low hanging fruit, and done in a way that is obviously like pointed and not subtle. And I thought some of it was fun. I think the overall idea though is that the plot is like, you know, the society in general is just stupid as shit. Everybody is doing like VR everything. Nobody goes out and does anything. And I guess like people live longer now because science and technology has created irradiated. What do they say? They irradiated everyone from cancer, so nobody can get cancer anymore, which like has left everyone living a lot longer. And now like that's the whole point of the death race too, is it helps like keep the population down. And they actually, I guess, give extra points for killing elderly and children. Like, you know, adults are give you the 10 points, but if you kill a kid, it's like. What, 20, and then an elderly person is 50 or something. So that's how they stack up the points. And
right. The world that they've kind of built sort of interesting. At one point, they say that the unemployment rate's like 99.7% or something like that. There's basically robots and technology have, eliminated the need for people to work. Which kind of begged the question to me of, like, how does anyone survive? Is it just, like, all off, government assistance? Is there just sort of, like, a minimum income that everybody receives? And then, like, the people who want to can go get a job that still requires a person to, make more than that? Or whatever it is, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. They don't explain a whole lot, and obviously this movie is not that kind of a movie to get into, like, real philosophical debate. More of just let's make fun of some easy shit and churn out this movie. And apparently it was done right around the time of the election, so all that is another thing, too, is the chancellor guy played by Malcolm McDowell is definitely supposed to be a Trump-like figure.
Yeah.
Because he's also a businessman / political leader. I did actually find, so in this movie they go throughout the different parts of the United States, and that was probably the funniest part for me was the way they renamed some of the places.
Yeah, like I noticed out in like the out west that there was a section called Data Mines on the map and stuff like that. So there were a lot of like little jokes, but I guess what we'll do is we'll kind of start out by talking about, just want to start out with like the acting in general.
Yeah, so this movie actually has some people I recognize. I mean, obviously Malcolm McDowell is really recognizable, and you might have recognized a few other people. You recognized, what's his face? Frankenstein being the dude who was in Arrow. I remember him from Spartacus. He played Crixus in that, so that's kind of what I referred to him as throughout the whole movie, which is probably stupid, because that show is also extremely much older than whatever we called Arrow. But yeah, Manu Bennett or however you pronounce it is in this, and that's who we're talking about, plays Frankenstein, and I like them. The rest of the people I could just kind of take it or leave it. The over the top acting from the guy that played Perfectus, whose name is Bert Grinstead, he was okay. I think it was kind of like there were some people who really got it, there were some people who didn't try hard enough, I feel like. But it was such a strange movie because some people were going way too over the top, and some people were doing okay. But I don't know how the direction was. This whole movie is so crazy. And I think that, like, with the acting, I'm sure it's difficult to dial in that perfect cheese meter because some people had it and some people didn't. And overall, this movie just went all over the place.
Yeah, like the lady who was, like, the pop star, when she was sort of in character, I found her really annoying and. It was just bad, but then there's a scene where she kind of comes out of character and is talking to, like, the camera woman for Frankenstein's car, like, during one of the breaks, and I was like, man, this, like, she's actually a pretty good actress. She just doesn't really seem well-suited to do this sort of way-over-the-top, obnoxious individual. It was kind of up and down. A lot of it was pretty bad. A lot of the dialogue was just, like, just poorly written, cheesy, just bad dialogue.
And there's too much of it. This movie has so much dialogue, and it doesn't need it. This movie's... I guess they're trying to make... it's one thing if they're making, like, pointed jokes or, make commenting on something stupid and political or doing something that, like, moves the story along a little bit or sets up something. There's so much, like, just needless dialogue where it's like, hey, let's observe something. And they have, like, a 10-minute conversation about... a couple people they just ran over, and I'm like, why are they doing this? And I don't know, there's so many scenes in this film that I'm like, could have been cut, and made this like an hour. Because there's so many times I think we both talked about before watching this that it's so long, and there were so many times I had to take a break because the movie just was so boring.
Yeah, and this movie's only 90 minutes. Like, that's a pretty standard length for a for a movie. Yeah. And so to say that like a movie that's only 90 minutes just felt like it was dragging is not a good sign.
Tammy was also pretty good. The terrorist, the kind of freaky cow country girl. She was okay.
Yeah, she was okay. Kind of, I mean, it's one of those things like I felt like it was kind of hard to tell maybe what they were going for with some of these. I don't know. I think that went a little too over the top. But I also think with these kind of movies, these like Roger Corman kind of movies, like it's like they know they're going to be making a shit movie and they're just kind of like leaning into it. Like, look how crazy and dumb this is.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of unfortunate because I feel like if you look at a movie we did a few weeks ago, like Turbo Kid, you know, kind of a similar, you know, definitely a very similar like genre of movie and probably not all that dissimilar in terms of acting talent available and like budget available, and like that was a good movie with what, you know, with what they had to work with. And you know, the effects in this are pretty awful, you know, that we'll talk, I guess, like the cars yeah. and stuff like that, you know, they kind of jumps between sort of what looked like these kind of modified like buggies, like maybe like dune buggies that they kind of built like a frame around to make them these death race cars. But then also like miniature versions of those, because some of them you can definitely tell that it was like a scale model that was like racing around, and you know, it was like a remote control car of some kind,
or the shittiest CGI I've seen in a long time for a movie that's made in 20 or released in 2017.
Yeah.
One
thing I wanted to, was something that really bugged me about the plot that they never really addressed, is that this is a race. And in a race, you know, it's whoever reaches the finish line first. But at the end of each day, they all stop at like a hotel and stay for the night and then get up and then all start again. So it's like, what's the point of the first three stages of the race other than racking up points from killing people? If at the beginning of the third day, they're all going to start at the same point in time. They never showed anything about how they were going to allot for time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you think about, like, the Tour de France, you know, like, the bike, it's like 20-something stages that takes place over the course of, like, a month or whatever every year. And in that, you know, it's whoever finishes in the shortest amount of time. So the person who crosses the finish line at the end of the last stage, whoever's the first to do that, isn't necessarily the winner, you know? Like, you could have somebody who's been ahead throughout enough of the race that they could come in fifth or sixth and behind the leader by several minutes and still be the winner. But in this, they're doing it like that stage setup. But in the end, you're definitely still meant to believe that it's just whoever gets there first. That there isn't much attention paid to, you know, who got to the, you know, like the hotel or whatever for each break time first. Yeah. It's just like, oh, we're all here at night and we'll start again in the morning.
It definitely is funny because this movie is called Death Race, and the race felt like it was the least important part of the movie. I'm not saying I could do it better. I don't do special effects. I'm not a director or writer or any of this shit. But it's like, I've seen racing films, and they usually can somehow manage to make the racing like look legit. And you weren't kidding, these cars that they have hooked up in this movie, I wrote down that they look like Honda Civics with like cardboard parts strapped to them. But they have like the sound effects of like, you know, a V8, you know, Hemi engine. But it's like, I'm not buying it. Nobody is. Like, you know, these look like space cars from the future that, you know, barely seat two people. And yeah, they probably are some sort of like buggy or not, you know, they took the panels off an ATV or a golf cart and then added, you know, these special effects things. But when they turn, when they run over rubble on the ground, you can tell that these things are just paper thin. And it takes away from the movie, in my opinion, is because it's like, you know, they didn't put any, you know, I don't know what the budget was. Obviously, it wasn't insane. But, I mean, just making it, even I would have rather them use, like, real cars, you know, or something that they just maybe screwed up or made a cool paint job or something.
Yeah,
you know,
like put some spikes or something on there.
Yeah, like they did in Wolf Cop. Like, just cut some welding into it or something. You know, just cut some holes in the frame, make it look spiky or something, and then it's a real car. And that way, when you're like doing a turn at like 40 miles an hour, it looks like a big car moving quickly. Or you can speed it up and make it look fast. Instead, you've got this, you know, this goofy looking golf cart looking thing, you know, with like obviously fake plastic spikes and, you know, chintzy things on it that, you know, and people are like shooting them with guns throughout this movie. And those, that's hilarious too, like the gun effects. Like anytime someone's shooting a gun, it is the fakest fakery I've ever seen. Like you'll just see somebody like just pointing a, you know, like a AK-47, and they're like obviously just like shaking the gun, like and they just like add a little flash of gunfire at the end of it. It's, you know, it's,
yeah, we've seen those kind of bad effects before, and it's just, yeah, it takes you out of it pretty quick, because you got to imagine like getting blanks can't be that expensive, you know, or, yeah, or what? I don't know.
Or just
maybe
the same.
Maybe it is. Maybe
same,
it is.
I don't know.
Too expensive.
And they have, but that's the thing too, is that it's so bizarre, because there's definitely scenes in this movie where they have motorcycles. There's a scene where like 10 people are hanging off of a real Hummer. Like, you know, like it's, yeah, not. I don't know why they had that kind of stuff, but then they couldn't go all out for these, you know, racing.
Yeah, and then the fact that they definitely had like full size versions and then miniature versions for different scenes. Like they didn't. It was so obvious when they were using the miniatures, as it often is. It's just, you know, miniatures are. Yeah, unless you're really going to put the money into it to be able to do it to the quality of like, you know, the super high quality miniatures of like a Star Wars or something like that from, you know, back in the day. This looks just terrible. You know, it's so obvious. I mean, it literally looks like a kid set up a camcorder, was taking his like matchbox cars and just like throwing them around like, whee!
Yeah.
And yeah, they do look really cheap and flimsy, and like you could, these things that are supposed to be these cars built like tanks to withstand fights between cars, which there really aren't a lot of. That was kind of another thing. For being like a death race, like you'd think the drivers would try to take each other out, but there's not really a ton of that. There's a couple instances, but for the most part, they're all kind of separated.
Yeah, and they also have like little grudges, but they don't act on them that often.
Yeah, like there's one scene where a couple of them play chicken, you know, but there's just one where they're kind of fighting car to car and then end up like splitting some guy in half. Some of the effects of them like running people over were kind of funny, like when they would just like totally eviscerate somebody. It kind of reminded me of a little Turbo Kid, where it's just super over the top, like blood splurting out. Which I don't, in terms of like the people of this world, this part didn't really like work for me, because like I understood why people would be fans of this, like they're bored, you know, sort of that whole like regression to like Roman times, like the Colosseum, like it's just something to watch. But the fact that they were like, people were like okay and got to the point that they were wanting to like sacrifice themselves to like give points to their favorite drivers, just,
yeah,
I mean, like, because the blonde girl, Tammy, she is like a cult of people, and she starts off the race by saying she's, oh, like, I left a special prize hidden in section G of the stadium, and it's a bomb that kills 17 people and gives her 17 people worth of points to start off with, and everybody cheers. Like, what?
Like, yeah, I think it's just that, again, this is like social commentary gone wrong, like the over the top, like, oh, the masses are stupid, asleep at the wheel, you know, they'll do anything that the people in charge tell them to do. It was just, like you're saying, it was to this extreme point of like, people are so dumb that, you know, they'll get killed and beg for it, you know, under the right circumstances of, you know, power fluctuation in the world. And they definitely kind of paint that in this film, that like the Malcolm McDowell guy and his like small cabinet of rich people are like, you know, we're the filthiest, richest people in the world, and everybody pretty much does whatever they want because they might get famous, and that's all they really care about. So like, they actually kind of explain it, I guess, is that if you kill yourself on TV, you become famous. But then again, they don't really explain that, because everything in this, every time someone gets killed, it just seems like, you know, nobody cares. I mean, yeah, it's fun to watch, but they're not being like immortalized because of it.
Yeah, you really don't get to know anybody outside of the racers, the couple like cameramen, and then like the head government people. You know, there's like one fan that you kind of are, you see what he's experiencing through his virtual reality headset. But even he comes to a pretty abrupt death at the end, at the very end of the movie. Yeah, so effects, acting, plot, kind of just minuses all over the place. The editing in this movie was nauseating.
Oh, yeah, especially at the beginning. Like, well, at least, you know, I guess they set you up to just let you know how it's going to go from here, because, holy shit, I've heard of, like, the YouTube, what do they call those, like, jump edits or jump cuts. Like, you know, you don't want to, you know, kind of making things more interesting to keep your attention. Like, a change. Like, and that's all this movie is, from, like, beginning to end, practically.
Yeah, like, especially in, like, the action sequences, like, I don't know if maybe that's like a product of, you know, you don't have a lot of money, so you don't have a lot of time to make multiple takes of things, so you probably have to take small snippets of takes that actually worked and kind of mash them all together. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I guess, but I mean, that's the thing too, is like, it's so bizarre because this budget wasn't huge, but it wasn't small either. I mean, they have decent CGI in some scenes, terrible CGI in others. They obviously shot on location in a bunch of different places. They didn't have terrible actors. They had, you know, not a ton of them. They actually had a few good ones. And yeah, but it's like the jump cuts and the in-your-face green screen crap was just like a little too much. So I don't know. It's sad because like I get what the movie's trying to do, and it is kind of cheesy, but then they're also trying to do this, like, you know, what kind of, another movie that it reminded me of was Idiocracy. Like, that's kind of what the people have become. They're stupid, they're, you know, over materialistic, they or whatever, and that's turned them into these zombies who just consume TV all day. As long as they have food and can watch their VR goggles, they don't care what goes on around them. And that, you know, again, like the whole social thing of, like, you know, people, as long as you can order pizza and, or have access to pizza and beer, like, nobody will ever, like, most people don't even care what's going on in the real world around them. You know, I guess that's kind of what they're trying to say in this movie, but they do it in such a bizarre way, and it doesn't come off like, hey, this is an actual, you know, poignant, what do you call it, like, you know, satire on the state of things in America today, or, you know, the way things keep going, it could end up like this. It just comes off as a really stupid movie that is not fun to watch, which is ironic because it has currently 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
100% positive?
Yeah, but then again, it's only 5 people who have reviewed it. But it still blows my mind that it's that every one of them gave it a 5 out of 5 stars.
Well, no, that's just Rotten Tomatoes is literally just like thumbs up or thumbs down.
Oh,
when it's like when a movie gets like a 65%, that just means like 65% said it was good. Or, like, recommended it kind of thing. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a rating like IMDb where they actually rated it, like, highly. That just means that they were like, it's okay. Versus it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a couple moments I did kind of like that made me laugh. I think during the first leg of the race, Frank, it's like, a notification that there's a scoring opportunity. And when he gets to where the scoring opportunity is, it's basically these adults have taken all these, like, wheelchair-bound handicapped children and, like, left them in the middle of the street and basically told, like, they almost made it set up like the kids were there excited for something good, and it's set up for him just to, like, mow them down and get the points kind of thing, which at first was like, oh, God. And then he's, like, driving through, and he kind of sees what it is, and then he veers around and wipes out all the adults who set it up.
Yeah. That was kind of funny.
But just, like, and then there was another incident later on where it would look to be maybe some, like, inmates or prisoners were, like, tied up and left in the middle of the road for someone else to take out. So there's, like, that, and that's the majority of the people that they get the points for are, like, either voluntarily getting out there to be taken out or are tied up. So there's not a lot of, like, just random pedestrians getting hit. You know, which I guess makes sense, because it's like, if you know the day that the death race is going on, you're probably going to, like, stay inside when they're in your area.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, did you, so, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, if they finish the race, sort of, a few of them die. Well, pretty much everybody dies except for Crixus or Frankenstein and his co-pilot. And then they kind of incite a revolution towards the end of the film by, you know, talking into the camera and being like, you know, if we kill Malcolm McDowell's character, the Chancellor, you know, that's got to be worth 1,000 points. And then I'm guessing we're supposed to, that's what happens. It was not believable. He somehow incites a worldwide revolution by running over that guy's character, the Chancellor. And
right, he takes him out, and then he gives this speech basically telling people to get out there and, like, do their own race, which I'm like, wasn't the whole point of this that you were trying to stop this kind of, like, senseless violence and that? But then you're saying do that, and then everybody just goes out and starts racing and killing each other,
yeah. It's like a huge... And then, yeah, and then, like, the very last line of the movie is, like, someone needs to repopulate. Oh, yuck. Let's go bang with my robot body. I also like the fact that every time this is Frankenstein, he was considered, I guess, a robo-human. Every time he moves his hands, arms, or anything, they go, like little
mechanical
robotic sound. Moves, and I'm like, oh my god. The editing was, like, way too much. Like, it wasn't that great. It was, like, definitely, like, quantity over quality in this film. Like, the jump cuts, the special effects on everything, like, there was a lot of editing in this movie that just became so annoying. And just intermixed with the bad acting and the subpar special effects, it all around made it for a not that much fun movie for me to watch. I didn't enjoy it, and I didn't really care about the political statements it was making. While I may not necessarily disagree with those kind of films we made, I think that it, you know, that could be cool, you know, to do something like that where you make subtle commentary on things you disagree with or agree with in the world today via film. Go for it, but do it in a way that is compelling and believable, and not just like some stupid, you know, it just felt like way over the top. You know, there was no subtlety. It was like, this is that. Let's point at this and see how bad it is. I don't know. I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I've never been a big fan of, like, movies trying to get all preachy, even if I agree with what they're saying. Like, I kind of look to movies to more of, like, an escapism and, like, just to be entertained. You know, I don't care for
that. Or at least you gotta know what's going on. You know, like, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just gonna say, so when it's like super in my face and you're like cramming it down my throat, it's like yeah. That just takes me out of it. I'm like, oh god, like just eye roll, you know?
Yeah.
So when I don't mind it if it's more subtle or something like that, because then I can just kind of ignore it or whatever. But you know, this isn't, like you said, there's other movies that have done the same thing of sort of like, hey, this is kind of where we're heading if we keep doing the things we've been doing. And it's like, I get it. You know what, the people that you're watching the movies aren't gonna have anything to say about it, but I don't know. So yeah, overall it's just kind of like, it wasn't funny. There's some humor, there's some things that are just weird, like the AI car is like, while it's doing the race throughout the beginning part of the movie, is like trying to like sexually gratify the camera woman who's inside the car.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, it was kind of funny because you're just like, what the hell is going on? Like, why? You know, there's not a lot of explanation for things other than for stuff like that. But that was one. Things like that, or like the cult of people that worshipped Tammy, you know, and the fact that like when they drive through like the West, like the Midwest and like Texas, like the second stage of it is, hey, this is when the pedestrians shoot back. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, they get into the parts of the country that we would typically think of as, oh, they got a lot more guns like out in these rural states and all that, and like all these people just start taking pot shots at the cars as they're driving by, but not really like they're not even really attacking them. They're just kind of shooting at them and like from their lawn chairs as they drive by.
Yeah.
You know, other than the rebellion, no one's really actively trying to stop the race from happening.
Yeah. So, thanks, Andrew, for this movie. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. I was definitely disappointed. I was hoping. I guess I should have known, because I like looking at Roger Corman's other stuff. Like, I know, I guess that's his thing, is like, hey, I've made a living off making shit movies. Why would I put any effort into making anything decent, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's 90 years old. I don't even know how much he possibly could have had to do with this particular movie. You know, I think he's listed as a producer. At this point, I almost wonder if it's not more just using his name for people who like this kind of thing. But it's kind of that line, and we've talked about it before, that like, of what separates a movie like Sharknado from a bounty killer or a wolf cop, of just like, were you trying to make a good movie, or were you just like making a something ridiculous looking and just trying to turn a profit, you know? Yeah. And this definitely seemed like they're just trying to turn a profit, which I don't know how movies like this turn profits. I guess if they sell it to, I don't know what their deal would be, but to sell a movie like this to Netflix or wherever else it gets sold to.
Yeah, this is definitely straight to DVD if that was still a thing.
Yeah.
So what'd you rating for it?
I'm going a 2 out of 5. I mean, we've seen worse. Kinda.
Yeah, that's what I gave it, 2 out of 5. I feel like it had decent parts. It wasn't like, but that's the thing, is like, I can recommend it if you're in the mood to, if you like Death Race, if you like this kind of like cheesy action stuff, but just be warned, it gets slow, and then there's a lot of stuff it's just, you know, kind of, I don't know. I'm not trying to judge it too harshly, because you're right. I mean, this is a cheesy movie, and it knows it is. It's not trying to be anything else, but at the same time, it's like trying to be this like action comedy, but it sucks at the action, it sucks at the comedy. I don't know.
Yeah, so. Like there's a lot of other choices out there. If you're looking, you know, going back to previous Cheese Flicks movies specifically, you know, if you want this kind of post-apocalyptic type feel, go watch Turbo Kid, go watch Bounty Killers, you know, something like that. Those were definitely two that are in this vein that were a lot better than this. You know, Hell Comes to Frogtown, that'd be in that list. I'm looking at the list of everything. Definitely don't watch Gallo Walkers. This was better than Gallo Walkers, I'll give it that. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of other ones out there that would fit into this category and be better than this.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
So we have a new fan submission for the next film.
Yes. So this was Vanessa posted this on Facebook.
Facebook.
Somewhere. It's on Netflix. Facebook. She actually found it on. It came up on our list. I guess the benefit of watching Cheese Flicks movies on Netflix on like my main account is that I get to see a lot of recommendations from Netflix of other potential Cheese Flicks movies. But it's called Officer Down, starring Kim Coates, who played Tig in Sons of Anarchy. It is based on a graphic novel, and it is about a police officer who cannot be stopped by death, and he returns to the streets time and time again to stop crime. So he's like a zombie cop, I guess. I don't think he's supposed to be like an actual like zombie though. So
See the preview?
I did. I don't remember right now. There's a pretty funny looking trailer available.
It looks like, yeah, it looks kind of like a RoboCop situation sort of thing, where like he can be killed, but then like not like killed, but I think he can be shot up, and then if he like dies, he can just be like put back together, or brought back to life somehow, like a zombie or something. Because it's definitely like scientist stuff involved. But yeah, looks great, and this looks like I'm hoping that it's closer to Wolf Cop than Death Race 2050 for sure.
Yep, so that is Officer Down. You can look for that in about 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yes.
So that was the Extreme Cheese condensed version of Cheese Flicks. Hope you all enjoyed it. Also, Officer Down is spelled D-O-W-N-E. So it's more like, I guess, a last name than the word down. Yep. Check yourself. Cheese Flicks. We're adding Twitter at Cheese Flicks. Hit us up on Facebook. Give us some recommendations. Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you thought of the new format.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit shorter. Not too much shorter. We're clocking at about 40 minutes right now, so... If you like it, let us know. We're probably going to keep doing it
at the beginning there.
Yeah, that's true. We might be able to condense it down to 30 minutes. That might be nice, but...
Yeah, if we cut out all the dicking around. maybe y'all like that. If you do, let us know, and we'll do it some more. Then you can just turn off the podcast when we're done talking to the movie, or talking about the movie, and we'll just continue to shoot the shit for an hour. It'd be like Joe Rogan's podcast. It'd be like 3 hours long.
Yeah. And we'll just have like people on the show with us and ask their thoughts, and then we'll give our thoughts, and we'll just constantly link in YouTube videos.
Yeah, just leave the microphone running as I like go back to play Ghost Recon.
So. All right, well, on that note, I'm Logan.
And I'm Andrew.
Yep, bye.
Well, here at last. Dear friends, on the shores of the sea comes the end of our podcast. Go in peace. I will not say, do not weep. Not all tears are evil.